First things first, you got to hire great marketers. We are a believer in brand. We are a believer in great marketers, and we are a believer in telling good stories. Part of our development of Postal has always been, let's be the best storytellers out there. Let's really listen to our customers. Let's listen to our partners and be problem solvers.
You're listening to Sunnyside Up, a B2B podcast that brings you the juiciest insights from go-to-market leaders and practitioners.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Sunnyside Up. I'm your host, Catherine Noonan. And today I'm super, super excited to talk to Eric Kostelnik on navigating of MarTech product growth, strategies for thriving in a challenging business environment. Eric is a serial entrepreneur, professor, and investor with over 15 years of experience in building and scaling technology companies in the B2B space. And he is the founder and CEO of Postal currently, which is an offline marketing automation platform and marketplace that helps personalize, automate, and scale direct mail, internal and external events, branded company swag, and personalized gifts. Eric, I'm really excited to have you on the show today. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Catherine. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, getting right into it, can you share a little bit of the story behind Postal and kind of the inspiration that led to its creation?
Yeah. So I had been a seller and a CRO and then an entrepreneur pretty much my whole entire career. So everything that I've done in my career has been around the go-to-market. So when we were taking a look at my co-founder and I, when we were taking a look into the next business venture that we wanted to start together, and we actually had started our last venture together as well, I really wanted to build for the sales and MarTech community. And for me, when you look at just the overall execution of sales and marketing, you know, I look at it in kind of three different ways. Number one is there's like the systems of record that are out there. So you have all of the record, you know, holders, which is CRM or marketing automation. And then you have these business intelligence systems that are kind of the brains behind that. And you have a lot of intent databases like Demandbase and Sixth Sense and some of those others that are out there that can provide intelligence around the actions of your prospects and giving you signals. And then really the third part is the channels. So how do you actually approach these targeted accounts or these inbound accounts or those that are signaling that, you know, through a channel approach. And so when I looked at all the channels, I looked at, you know, the kind of, there's four different channels. You have your phone calls, your emails, your advertising, then your direct mail. And I found that there really has not been a technology first platform for direct mail automation for B2B direct mail. And I had used direct mail with immense success in my past, in my career. And so I figured that would be a good thesis to start. And after we did enough research, we just found that the current providers in the marketplace were not serving the purpose of the needs of the customer. And we decided to go at it. And so Postal was born in 2019. And we have amazing investors and partners that have helped us grow to now, you know, over 500 customers, and even growing in downturns is positive. So the business continues to be healthy, but I think it always is about servicing the channel and ultimately becoming that channel platform for our customers.
Love that. I think just as a seller myself, I know the success of direct mail, both from our marketing team, but also as an individual seller as well, just as an additional channel to engage folks. And, you know, you mentioned that you guys continue to have success in a downturn environment. You know, can you walk us through some of the primary features and advantages of a platform like Postal and explain how it brings value to its users?
Yeah, I mean, I won't get too much into the features because, I mean, really what we're doing is just creating pattern interrupt. I mean, at the end of the day, you're really just trying to figure out how to engage customers or prospects in a way that they haven't really been engaged with before. And direct mail has just always been a very difficult system to automate and systemize, just from the sheer fact that it operates in the real world. So what we really focused on is the technology infrastructure to make direct mail behaves very similar to other channels like advertising and email, to where we can pull information from these systems of intelligence and actually, you know, budget and set targets of engagement through this channel, through the system. So when you look at, you know, spending $15 on a cost per click or $15 on a bottle of wine or, you know, $1.25 on a postcard or something, those actions can now be taken in a systematic way that will help those customers actually see the return on those investments. So really what we're trying to do at our core is just increase conversion rates in the funnel on the marketing side and on the sales side. And with that, you have to integrate with all the systems out there to make sure that it's a part of the story and part of your overall outreach.
And as a relatively new player in the kind of MarTech space, particularly with the recent launch of Postal, we'd love to explore your brand and your marketing strategies. How do you navigate the challenges of this competitive market and what insights can you share about your approach?
Yeah, I mean, first things first is you got to hire great marketers. We are a believer in brand. We are a believer in great marketers, and we are a believer in telling good stories. So part of our development of Postal has always been, let's be the best storytellers out there. Let's really listen to our customers. Let's listen to our partners and be problem solvers. And let's have fun with it. You know, we have kind of a theme here at Postal of earning, learning, and having fun. And that is what we try to instill in our employees as well as our customers. So when you look at our content and the brand that we've been able to create, I'm very proud of the brand that we've been able to create. It's a professional brand. At the same time, you know, we have fun with it. And just naturally, you know, the experience part of our business where we have, you know, vendors that support all the needs of our customers, you know, we get to work with a lot of amazing vendors and partners to overall build the brand. So it is one of those stories of virality as well. I mean, naturally, when you are sending, you know, tens of thousands of things a month, you know, we've cracked the 100,000 a couple times in a month. But when you have all these customers sending all these things, you want to make sure that, number one, that you're tying everything back into the records and those customers can see the benefit of it. But also you want to try to create virality in those experiences and those receiving things from customers. We believe that those can be our customers as well. So how can they know that, you know, hey, this is something they can do as well and integrate into their system? So there is a sense of virality that happens with Postal, but overall, the majority of our effort has been towards, you know, creating a true brand that solves problems and that is a value resource for our customers.
I think that one of the things that stands out to me in listening to you is it sounds very much people first, both in a strategy from a direct mail standpoint, right? Just kind of cutting through the noise of digital advertisements and channels that people are already kind of inundated with and taking more of a people first approach. And so no surprise that also kind of similarly what you guys focus on as a brand internally as well.
Yeah, I mean, people are the only resource that you can't predict. And I believe that hiring great people and hiring great people that can tell the right story, as well as hiring great people that can tell the right story to the right customer base, and having that customer base be the right customer base. Because, you know, honestly, as times get difficult, which, you know, I would argue we're in a pretty tough time right now, just economically and politically and geopolitically and all the things that are going on, we look at that and we go, you know, you have the ability to hire your own customers. You can't solve everything for everybody right now. The amount of capital that it takes to do that is very difficult. So you need to be working with customers that, you know, have real challenges that have been identified that you can serve. And you have to hire people to help them solve those problems. And then, you know, that comes with technology and professional services as well. But, you know, when you really look at just peeling the onion back around any successful business, it starts with the human capital that is invested in the business.
So shifting gears, kind of thinking about the future needs of the space of marketing automation systems and platforms, what are your thoughts on kind of the anticipated future needs of users in terms of a platform like Postal?
Yeah, I mean, I think everything is moving towards automation with AI capabilities that are going to be, you know, built into any tool. So I think that naturally everything is going to move into a direction where it's going to feel a bit unreal. And I think that when you think about that experience that people are having and the amount of technology that's surrounding these applications or platforms, the question is how can you have some humanity back into the process? And how can you make buyers feel that it is a human that is, you know, executing this sale, or a human that is providing you a problem solve and not just a robot? I think ultimately, when you look at businesses built on artificial intelligence and pure automation, you'll lose a lot of the human touch and the element that people enjoy, and that is, you know, to problem solve and have that cognitive ability to understand and to identify opportunities to, you know, to solve problems. So I just think that it's going to be even more important in the future that that companies are developing their human first brand, and then having automation and artificial intelligence very, very much be kind of the backup of that. But I really believe in MarTech and sales tech, that the more things become automated, the more AI that happens, the more customers will push back on that and really want to deal with brands that are human first.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think that sometimes, you know, the more automation, like you mentioned, the more robotic it feels, the more people kind of want to, you know, pull away a bit. So I think that human-to-human aspect is definitely a key thing. Could you shed some light on some of the kind of prevalent misconceptions regarding marketing automation platforms and that you believe are important to address and clarify?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of technology out there. There is a tremendous amount of technology. And, you know, if you look at, I think it's Scott Brinker, he provides, you know, the state of MarTech and the, I don't know, 5,000, 10,000 companies that are serving marketers right now. I really believe that you have to kind of break it down to say, and in your own business to say, okay, what are the problems I'm trying to solve? And then what's the technology that can serve the purpose of those problems? And find consultants that allow you to identify, you know, what products you actually need. There's a tremendous amount of crossover happening right now. And, you know, really over the next 12 months, I mean, we're on Halloween, believe it or not, Halloween of 2023. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
So, you know, when you look at this date in history, you look in 12 months or in 24 months, there's going to be a lot of consolidation that's going to happen due to the fact that the capital market is closed. So when you look at consolidation, my hope is that we're going to find more providers that do more of what you need and not have so many point solutions that you have to hunt for the best out there. But there is consolidation within MarTech. And I do think that at some point there's going to be a channel provider, there's going to be the system of intelligence, and then there's going to be a CRM or a system of record winner. I think there's going to be winners within those spaces, and you really have to identify, you know, what that is, you know, what you want to do and who you want to work with. And my take on it, to go back to the last question, was, you know, I believe people are going to want to work with people, so that continues to be extremely important.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people want to work with people, and I think people want to be able to attach to a brand, and those two go hand in hand. And kind of on that same vein, you know, for marketers out there that are kind of on the verge of making a purchase decision within the MarTech space, you know, what kind of tips or advice would you share with them to help them make the most informed decision? I know you referenced consultants getting, you know, third-party eyes on it. You know, what can you expand on that a bit?
Yeah, I mean, I will say first off, and I say this with love, but there is a lot of noise out there on, call it, like the third-party sites that, you know, provide user stories or, you know, the ratings that are out there. There's a lot of noise, and there's a lot of, I would say, you know, false information out there. You can be gaming that system. And so some of the best relationships that we have are just coming from customers asking us, how do you do this? Like, how can we successfully execute this program? And I think that, you know, you can use consultants, you can use third-party review sites, you can do all those things. But really, if you're building out your customer journey and you look at the points within that customer journey, that buyer's journey of like when and how you're going to engage those folks, you can see the points of technology that need to be interjected within that. And I would say that, you know, go to the market leaders to understand what does best in class with their individual technology look like. Like, what is best in class in demand base? Like, how do you use demand base? How does demand base use demand base? How does outreach use outreach? How does postal use postal? Right. So all of those components are extremely important. But, you know, I lean on our vendors quite a bit to tell us, hey, are we doing this correctly? Are we best in class? I want to be a case study for you. How do I become that? And how can you make me successful? And I think as long as you can find the right partners that you trust, that you're going to find yourself with a best-in-class system if you can lean on those partners that are onboarding you and providing you the resources.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that stands out to me when you mentioned that is kind of the partner aspect of it. A lot of the way that the sales kind of world is moving now is quite a bit through partner growth. So it's just interesting for you to kind of mention that as well from a buyer's perspective. How can you guys become the most successful customer and then open up that relationship, and who knows where that leads?
Yeah, absolutely.
Shifting gears a little bit away from Postal, any good reads? Is there a book, a blog, newsletter, anything that you would recommend to our listeners as a good content spot for you?
Well, Sunny Side Up is definitely a listen. I've listened a few episodes, so it's good. We also are doing Taking Flight now, which is our podcast here at Postal, which I get to interview go-to-market leaders that are amazing. And we get to do fun things like taste a bunch of different things and foods and, you know, hot sauces and all these different things with the flights that we do. But I would say that as far as just the reads go, I try to stay out of the news cycle as much as possible. And I try to listen to the thought leaders within the spaces. I think that their ear to the ground is a little bit better. And so, you know, those are all the influencers on LinkedIn and that can provide, you know, data that they're seeing from their systems. As far as reads go, I mean, I do believe that there's a little bit of history repeating itself right now. And it feels very familiar when I was selling from 2008 to 2010. And so you really have to kind of look back and look at the case studies that you can find in like Harvard Business Review or The Economist around companies that were thriving during that downturn. You really had to look at the history of those businesses and what made those businesses successful and try to, you know, interject some of that learning within your own business operations, which I do. As far as just like my own personal reading, I wasn't a big history buff like when I was in like high school or college or anything, but I found myself reading the history of Einstein and Ben Franklin, which is the book that I'm in right now is Ben Franklin's autobiography by Walter Isaacson. And that is a long read, but it's amazing because even things that were happening during the, you know, development of our republic here, you can kind of look at them and go, wow, this feels very similar on some of the challenges you have. So again, history is an important thing to look at when you're, you know, facing challenges. And I get a lot of solace in reading about things that were really difficult. Like the American Revolution was very difficult. And you look at what we're trying to do.
I was just going to say, it's a good point of reference as we're sitting in our very nice, comfortable home.
Right, exactly.
Well, it sounds like you can consider yourself a history buff now. In terms of good people, you know, what are three inspirational people in kind of the B2B space that, you know, you mentioned a couple of thought leaders that you follow. Who are some names that you'd recommend, you know, that we bring on the show or that our listeners kind of tap into?
Yeah, I mean, I've been good friends with Manny from Outreach for a long time, and I was helping him out advising on the transition of group talent to Outreach when it was an HR technology and moving over to a sales tech. And, you know, Manny's done just an incredible job with that business. And I think he'd be an incredible, he's got an amazing story too, just being an immigrant as well. He's awesome. Henry from ZoomInfo is amazing. I've gotten to know Henry over, you know, the last couple of years being in the space, and his story, again, just the amount of just stay with itness with his kind of 15, 20 years with ZoomInfo has just been incredible. And I love the story arc within that business as well. And I think it's also important to interview venture capitalists. And I've been lucky enough to work with Rajiv Batra here at Postal, who's one of our board members, but also who was early days into Marketo and was able to see the story arc there with John Miller and Marketo and Steve Lucas and those folks. And, you know, you have to kind of look at it from all sides of saying, you know, who are the people that have done it before? Who are the people that have seen success and seen failures? And, you know, I think venture capitalists sometimes get a bad name around, oh, they're just the money guys. But, you know, Rajiv has amazing experience that helps me out on a daily basis. So I would recommend those three folks.
It's almost full circle. It's like the VC guys are the your history point of reference just in today's B2B world.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
You've lived through it, a number of versions of things. Awesome. My last question for you, just given it's October 31st, what would your Halloween costume be if you had one?
Oh, man. I wish I could be wearing a Halloween costume. I actually have school tonight, so I've been teaching at Poly. So we'll see what the kids dress up as. But we actually did dress up this weekend. We were post-apocalyptic. So it was like I was like an army guy. And like it was fun. It was like love my that. Wife was all dressed up too. And we went to this barn out in the middle of nowhere in Edna Valley in San Luis Obispo where we live. And they had the whole entire barn like made up like a post-apocalyptic and they had a band and everything. It was a lot of fun. So yeah, we have fun with Halloween, but my kids are all dressed up. They're all the most random costumes ever. My 28-year-olds, my girl twin is the devil, which that's cool. The boy twin is a blown up chicken. Okay. So he's a big inflatable chicken, which is absolutely hilarious. And then, and then my older son, Mason, is a huge, like 9-foot dinosaur. So they're all, they're all individuals for sure.
Love it. Love it. Well, those are some good costumes. Awesome. Eric, it was really good interviewing you. I really enjoyed this conversation. And I think I might be picking up a few new history books after this as well.
Sounds great. Well, thanks for the time.
Today's episode is made possible by Demandbase. Demandbase is smarter GTM for B2B brands to help marketing and sales teams spot the juiciest opportunities earlier and progress them faster. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Sunnyside Up. If you liked what you heard, please rate and review us and subscribe to our show on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you consume podcasts. You can also find us on YouTube and Demandbase TV.